Started. I'm going to title this message different than what I put on your sheet. How to get God to live inside of you. It's the message. How to get God to live inside of you. So last week, I'm going to continue the series. I started last week on what it means to be saved. And last week, we learned that Jesus made us right with God in the high court of heaven. Remember that? And through his death and his resurrection. And as soon as we believe this good news with a desire to change, that God forgives our guilt from our sin, he removes the penalty of our sin, he makes us righteous in God's sight, and restores our friendship with God instantly. Okay? And so that's what we talked about last week. But guess what? There's more. There's even more. God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, changing our very nature and giving us the power to know and obey him. Everybody say, God gives us the power to know him and to obey him. Okay, awesome. So I'm going to just, I'm going to do different than what I have on your notes, kind of. So Ezekiel 36, I'm just going to read that verse. It's a prophecy in the Old Testament where God promised Israel. He says, you know, there's a time coming when I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And the new covenant, one of the keys of the new covenant is that, you know, in the old covenant, we have his laws, but we didn't have the power to obey them consistently from the heart, not just in front of people, but from the heart. And so he says, the new covenant, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to make you a new person, and I'm going to give you power to actually live out those commands consistently, not only outwardly, but also inwardly in the way you think and live before God. So I want to read this prophecy. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I'm just going to get rid of this, actually. Because we got a cool wall now. Remember how to do it. All right. So he says, I will give you a new heart. The first thing that God does when you believe and follow Jesus, what he does is he goes and he takes your old heart of stone and he takes it out of you. Because like that heart is a problem for you. That heart is your problem. It's a sinful heart. It craves and desires sinful things. It's self-seeking. It's not interested in pleasing me. It's hard like a rock. It's a heart of stone. It's stubborn. It's rebellious. It causes you to resist my leadership and trust in yourself and your own ideas rather than obey my word. He's like, I'm just going to get rid of it completely. I'm not going to reform your heart. I'm getting rid of that heart. I hate that heart. That's the truth. God's like, I hate your stubborn, rebellious heart of stone. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm getting rid of it. It's completely faulty. And he gets rid of it. Aren't you glad he doesn't leave us there? He says, I'm going to give you a new heart that I love. It's a heart of flesh. And a heart of flesh is a heart that's tender towards God. It's soft towards God. It wants to please him. It has a desire to please him from the inside out. Then he says, I will remove your heart of stone. I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit. Notice there's a capital S there. That's the Holy Spirit. I'll put my spirit in you. He comes to live inside of our spirit. And here's the result. You will be moved from within to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So I want to give you four qualities that the Holy Spirit imparts to you when he comes inside of you. Okay? Number one is the confidence that God loves me and has accepted me. Romans chapter 8 says, you know, the Spirit of God that comes, lives in us, cries out to God, Abba, Father. And he bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that God is our Father. And that's one of the awesome things the Holy Spirit does immediately when he comes to live inside of you, is he convinces you, I am loved by God. God loves me. He's not mad at me. He's not angry at me anymore. He was because of my sin, and he wasn't happy about it. He loved me and wanted to save me from it, but he wasn't pleased with me at all. But now, because I'm clean in the eyes of God, he's pleased with me. He delights in my willingness to believe the gospel and choose to surrender to Jesus' leadership. He's like, I delight in you now. And the Holy Spirit convinces us that God loves us and has accepted us, and we have favor with him. Not only loves us, he likes us. Okay, number two, the Holy Spirit gives us the desire to feel God and be close to him. I'll go beyond that. I say he gives you the ability to feel God and be close to him. But for sure, when you feel God and you get this new heart, you will have this intense desire in you that you'll want to be close to him. You'll want to feel his presence more and more. That's one of the things that jumped out to me the first time I felt the presence of God when I got saved. The Spirit came into me. Is I was just like, I had no idea that I could feel like this. I mean, this is awesome. I'd never felt love like that in my whole life. And when I felt him for the first time, I was like, I just want to feel you like this for the rest of my life all the time. Let it never stop. I'll do anything, whatever it takes. I want this. I have just found my whole reason for being. It's this fellowship that I'm experiencing right now. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives you a desire to please God. Not only to feel him and to be close to him, but you actually get a new desire. More than anything, you want to please him. You want to make him happy. And then number four, the Holy Spirit gives you passion to worship Jesus and tell others how wonderful he is. I mean, that's just one of the fruits. You can tell somebody is born again because they know God loves me and he's accepted me. Because they know I just want to be close to him. I hunger for him. You know, my parents used to force me to go to church before I got saved. And I hated going to church. It was the most boring thing I could imagine. I'd do everything I could to get out of it. And I'd argue with them. I'd get in serious. I remember one morning I got in a major, major, major standoff with my mom. And that I was not going to church, you know, because by then I was bigger than her. And I was old. I was like, you can't make me go. Physically, you can't do it. And it was just going on and on and on. I mean, that was where my heart was at. But you know, when I got saved, after I met the Lord, I was like, oh, I love you. I want more of you. I'm coming back to this place. I love, because I got saved in a church service. I'm like, I'm coming back to this place, and I'm going to sing that one song, those worship songs that they did, that when I did it, I felt God. I'm going to come back to this place and do the exact same thing again and see if it works the same way, if I can feel him like that when I start worshiping again, because I wanted God. And I remember when that happened, there'd be times they'd be like, oh, you know, yeah, we're not going to church this morning for whatever reason. And I'd be like, I'm going. I mean, it was the total opposite. I'm like, no problem. Can I have the keys to the car? Because I'm going, and I'll take my little brothers and sisters with me. Because I had this desire. I wanted to be with God. I wanted to be with him. And I remember I'd be driving in my car. Because this thing, when I got saved, when I got born again, I came into a church service. And the only reason I went there was to see a girl. That's the main reason I went. And over the course of the past few months leading up to that, I had a baseball coach who would just share the word of God with us all the time. Every practice, before games, after games, he would preach to us in study halls. I am so thankful for this man at a public school. And it began to dawn on me. I began to understand the rest of the gospel. I knew that you believe in Jesus. I already knew that. You know, you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead 3 days later. I already knew that. But I didn't know that you had to repent of your sins and set your heart to obey his commands. I didn't know that. I thought that was recommended. You know, you get extra goodies with God in heaven if you actually do that, but yeah, you don't have to do it. Just believe. And he filled in the rest of the gospel for me. So I got it. And I was at a point where I was like, yeah, someday I started to believe what he was saying. And I was like, someday I need to do that. But not now. I'm having fun right now. I'm only 17. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do my thing. And maybe after college, I'll decide to get married. I'll settle down, do the religious thing, have a family. I just didn't have a clue about what it meant to be born again. And but then I was in a church service, a youth service on a Wednesday night. I came there in a really good mood. I sat through the whole service. Guys shared his testimony, shared the gospel. And at the end, he's like, if you want to know Jesus, come forward. Well, I didn't go forward. Because I was like, oh yeah, I already prayed that prayer a long time ago. But I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. I was blind. And then after a while, I was sitting in my chair. And as I sat in my chair waiting for the service to get over so they let us go, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me And I didn't realize it was him at the time. But I began thinking, I'm like, man, I reflected on my life, and I thought, I don't even like my life. I really don't like my life. I'm like, you know, I'm just, I'm a fake. I'm a hypocrite. I act like I got things together and that I'm happy, but I'm not. I act that way around my friends, and I'm really popular. I had tons of friends. It was, you know, all the circumstances were actually really good in my life at that moment. But I was just like, but I battle heaviness and depression. I feel lonely. I don't feel loved. I'm like, I'm just a fake, but I act like I got it all together. And I just began to see the vanity of who I actually was, of everything in my life up to that point. It was just pathetic, honestly. And I began to see it, and I'm like, man. And then the next thought that came into my mind is that I began to reflect on my life, what it could be if I would choose to serve Jesus right now. And I didn't know. I thought I was just thinking, but it was the Holy Spirit. And I began to, as I began thinking, I'm like, if I were going to be a Christian, I would be radical about it. I wouldn't just go to church on Sundays and go to the parties on the weekends and be a fake about it. If I were actually going to do this thing, I'd go all the way with it. I'd obey God. I'd tell other people about him. I'd live a holy life. I didn't really understand what a holy life was other than I'd stop going to parties. That was the big thing. You know, I won't do that anymore. I know that's bad. And I was like, I'd go all the way with it. And as I contemplated what life could be like if I live radically for Jesus, this intense desire started rising up within my heart. And all of a sudden, I craved that lifestyle. Where I didn't crave it 10 minutes before, but all of a sudden, I'm like, that's my purpose. Like, that's what I'm made for. Like, this will bring me happiness. I just knew that's the key to my happiness. That's who I am. That's who I was made to be. And so I'm like, I'm doing this. I was so excited about it. It wasn't reluctant for me. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do it. I was like, yeah. And so I get up, I come down, I pray my little sinner's prayer. Jesus, you know, I believe in you. I'll follow you. And then I go back to my seat. This guy comes up to me and he goes, hey, because he had seen me praying at front. He goes, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I had no idea what he meant. I was just remembered somewhere in the Bible I'd heard before that the Holy Spirit comes to live in you when you're saved. So I'm like, yeah, sure. And I go back up front with him, and all these people start praying for me. They get around me and start praying for me. And I don't know what they want. They're just I'm in the middle of a circle. They're all around me, like a huddle around me. And the preacher's in front of me, and they're all laying hands on me. And I this is all new. I have no idea what they're talking about. And they just begin praying for me to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay. I'm like, how do you even know? I'm like, he's invisible. You know, so I'm just standing there waiting. And I was genuinely wanting him. I just didn't know what do I do? Like, how do I receive him? So I'm just sitting there. And as I'm sitting there, after a while, you know, they were so patient with me. They just kept praying and praying and waiting. And then after a while, I began very, very subtly at first, I began feeling the presence of God. It was the first time in my whole life. I had never felt the presence of God before, ever. Very subtle, deep inside, I could feel his presence. And I was like, oh. And when I felt his presence, I just concentrated on that. And then I just, it get stronger. And I could feel him stronger and stronger. And then I just began, because I didn't know if it was me, I just began speaking out in these other languages that I'd never learned before, praying and worshiping in these other languages. And to me, it was a supernatural sign to me because I had grown up, I'd never heard about speaking in tongues. Oh, I'd heard about it, but I'd never knew hardly anything about it. And the little I had heard about it, I thought was weird because it was kind of a little taboo in the church circles that I grew up in. And I was like, oh man, that's weird. You know, that's crazy. And then, but all of a sudden, my heart is, I have a different heart now. That was my old heart that was just yucky, just trash it, is worthless, heart of stone. But my new heart, I was like, now I love God. Now I want to please God, and I want all of him. And so I'm up there, and I realize, I'm like, oh my goodness, I think they want me to speak in tongues. And I'm going, I don't even know how to do that. I've never learned how to do that, and I can't fake it. And so there's this internal struggle happening within me, like, what do? I'm stuck. There's no way out. They're circling me, and I know they're not going to leave until I do this, but I don't know how to do this. What am I going to do? So I'm there, and then When I started feeling his presence, I just began speaking out in these other tongues. And to be honest with you, when I first did it, I didn't know if it was just me or if it was the Holy Spirit. But I just did it by faith because I did feel something. I felt his presence. And then I just very quietly spoke it out because I was not confident if it was me or God. And when I did that, the preacher heard me and he was like, that's it. He's like, that's it. Keep coming. That's good. And I was like, oh, good. I'm so glad because I didn't know if it was me or God. But then it bolstered my faith when he says, yes, that's the Holy Spirit. So then I began doing it more and more. And the more I spoke in tongues, the stronger I felt his presence. And then I was hooked. I was hooked for life. I fell in love with Jesus. I had never loved Jesus before. I never loved Jesus before. You know, I had thought about, I don't want to go to hell, so I probably should be a good person. I probably should say I believe in him and get baptized, but I never loved him before. Do you know what, though? I've never stopped loving him since that moment because I got a new heart. The new heart that the Holy Spirit gives you is a heart that loves Jesus. It's a heart that desires to please him and desires to be close to him. And I fell in love. And you know what happened to me? I actually left that service and I was thinking, oh, I was so excited. I was so excited. I mean, my girlfriend, who I was excited about coming into the service, I was more excited about Jesus coming out of the service than I even was about my girlfriend. And so I remember leaving and just being like, oh, this changes everything. Like this, I didn't even know this world existed. You know, I was so in love with God. And I had two new desires in my heart that didn't exist there before. I was like, God, I want to feel you like this all the time for the rest of my life. And number two, I want to please you. Not just because I didn't want to go to hell, even though that's real, but because I know you love me and I love you back and I want to make you a proud papa. How many of you know when you're in love, you want to make that person happy? You want to do things for that person that they like, that communicate, I love you. Isn't that true? You know, when you fall in love with your wife or your husband, you know, when you fall in love with them, it's like, man, you find out they like this and you like, oh, they like Reese's Pieces. And you go to the store and you just start buying Reese's Pieces and giving it to him. Because it's like, I know what you like and I want to give it to you because I love you. And this is how I express it. I give you the things you like. Do you know what God's love language is? Obedience. God's love language is obedience. You can tell somebody has faith internally because faith that's invisible internally, it always has a visible sign. And the outward manifestation of faith is obedience. Every time. And I fell in love with the Lord, and that's what happened when the Holy Spirit came into me. So now it's like the idea of, it wasn't like, oh, I have to obey God now. Poor me. I can't do all the fun stuff anymore. Now I have to be boring and live for God. That is such a religious lie. That's religion. That is not what Jesus came to give. That's just dead man-made religion. The truth is the Spirit came into me and I was like, I want to please God. I want to obey God. I want to pray. I want to go to church. I want to live for Jesus. I want to tell others about him. I mean, I just started talking about him. How many of you know when you fall in love with your spouse, right? And you go around, you get around your other friends, and they're like, dude, can you please stop talking about this person? Because you're just, they're on your mind. You're in love with them. And you're just thinking about them. And you're like, when can I go 4 more hours until they're off work and I can go see them again? It's just, that's how it is. That's how it is when you get born again. When you fall in love with Jesus and you realize that's how he's felt about you. Listen to Philippians 2:13. I love this verse. It's in the New Living Translation. For God is working in you, and here's how he works in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Do you see that? He gives you, when the Spirit is working inside of you, this is how you can tell, you will have an intense desire to please God. And number two, you will have the power to please God. You can't do either one without the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But when he comes into you, you have a desire to please him, and then you have the power to follow through and actually do it. I remember, years before one of my problems I had when I first got saved is before I first got saved, that God delivered me from immediately, was cussing. I had very bad language. I had had horrible language since second grade. I got a new friend and he would cuss all the time and I just picked it up. And I did it ever since. You know, I would just cuss. I was just cussing a lot. And I remember a few times before that, I'd been like, yeah, this probably is a bad habit that makes me look bad in some people's eyes. Maybe I should stop. And I'd try to stop, but then I'd just forget and keep cussing. I'm like, whatever. I don't really care that much anyway. I'll just keep doing it. And then I remember when I got saved, that the very day I got saved, I'm like, God, what do you want me to do now? I mean, this is probably within 30 minutes to an hour after I had that, my first encounter with God. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Because I had the desire to please him. And he said, I want you to quit cussing. Of all things, I'm still not sure why he chose that. I mean, there were a lot worse things, in my opinion, that I needed to clean up right away. But that's the thing he showed me right away. He said, quit cussing. I was like, okay. I mean, there was zero resistance in me. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, but I don't know if I can. That was my question. I was like, I tried that before, and it didn't work so hot. But you say do it at your word. I'll stop cussing. Help me. And I remember, you know, a little bit of time went by. This all happened in about a week. A little time went by, and, you know, it's like I would say a cuss word or something, and I'd hear myself say it, and I'd be like, oh, forgive me, God. I do not want to do that. Help me never to say that again. And then I'd catch the word in my mind right before I actually spoke it out loud, and I'd restrain myself from speaking it. Then I'd be like, God, forgive me for even thinking that. Take that out of my mind. I hate that. And then, to be honest, that went on for a few days, and then I kind of forgot about it for the next several days until about a week later, I was with a friend, and she looked at me out of the blue. I don't even know what we were talking about. Out of the blue, she goes, you know what? I never hear you cuss anymore. And it shocked me. I just thought about what she just said. I'm like, is that true? I'm like, you're right. I'm like, I don't cuss anymore. It had only been a week since I got saved, but I think God put that in her mouth to point out to me. I was like, you're right. He took it from me. That's what happened. Because when God is at work in you, he gives you not only the desire to please him, he gives you the power to follow through and please him and do the things he tells you to do. Amen. So to me, speaking in tongues and delivering me from cussing were like two major signs in the first week of my life of serving the Lord that I knew this is real and something real has happened to me. I've really got saved. I just knew it. Plus, my desires were all different, everything. So how many of you know counterfeit religion is no substitute for authentic spiritual life? I'm going to say that again. Counterfeit religion is not a substitute for authentic spiritual life. I remember, you know, the problem that we often run to when preaching the gospel in the United States is that many people know Christianity, quote, as a religion, but they don't actually know Christ. I remember being in a nursing home here in Huron, and I was talking to a lady, sweet lady, precious lady, and I was talking to her about the Lord, and she would just, just be talking about, oh yeah, I think she had been a secretary or something at a Lutheran church for many years, and she just started talking to me about all her church background. You know, she'd been a secretary, she had taught different classes, she had helped put on whatever dinners, you know, all this kind of stuff, and she told me all this stuff about religion. But then I asked her, I said, oh, okay, that's awesome. I was like, so tell me, what's the most life-changing experience you've ever had with God? And that shocked her. She just kind of thought, she was quiet for a while, and she was just thinking. And after a little bit, she looked up, she goes, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I've really ever had an experience with God. And I said, oh, okay. I was like, well, let me just share with you probably the most impactful experience I've ever had with the Lord. And I told her my testimony like I just told you. And after I got done, I'm like, have you ever had an experience like that with God? And she's like, you know, she was like, maybe I don't know God like I thought, is what she said. Which was true. Because what she had, and guys, you know why I share that illustration? That is South Dakota. The majority of South Dakota does not know God. They don't have authentic spiritual life. They don't have the real thing that Jesus came to give. If it's not the real thing Jesus came to give, I don't want it. I want real spiritual life that brings salvation now, and so I can be used by God and glorify God in my life. I only got a few years to live. I want to glorify Jesus and live it with him. And then I want to know with certainty when I die, zero fear, I'm going to be with the Lord. How do you have zero fear? If you have religion, you have fear going into death because religion can't save you. It's a counterfeit. It's the devil's counterfeit. How many of you know counterfeiters? They designed the fake thing to look as much as possible like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. So it doesn't actually work. You go to spend it and people recognize this isn't the real thing. Sorry, you can't buy that car with your 15,000 counterfeit pieces of paper. It doesn't work. It's not the same as cash. You guys with me or the real thing? It's the same way with religion. Just going to church, even participating in bake sales, even singing the songs about Jesus, getting baptized. You can go through taking the Lord's Supper. You can do all of these outward religious activities and not know Jesus. How do I know? Because I did it. I got baptized before I knew the Lord, and my life didn't change at all. I would take the Lord's Supper. I didn't like going to church, but when I did, I always liked when they did the Lord's Supper because I'm like, I want to eat the cracker. You know, all kids are like that. I'm like, Mom, please, can I do it this time? Can I participate? And she'd be like, okay, and I'd get the grape juice, and, you know, it's cool, but my heart wasn't in, like, connecting with God over it, over what Jesus did for me at all. I was just doing outward religious activities, but I had no authentic spiritual life on the inside of me. This is our community. This is South Dakota. My heart breaks for this. So many people in the nursing homes, and that's, they have a history of religion, but they don't have a history of walking with Christ. Hearing his voice, feeling his presence every day of their life. Obeying his word. I believe that like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that God, Jesus would compassionately look us in the eye and he would say, you must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless no one can enter the kingdom of God unless you must be born again. He would plead with us. He would say, don't settle for a form of religion without any power. Get the real thing. So, how do I get God, the Holy Spirit, to come inside of me and give me the real thing? How do I get that to happen? I'm going to give you some scriptures that aren't on your sheet right now, but I love these verses. They're so clear. The first one is in John chapter, they're all in John chapter 14. So you can turn there if you have your Bible. I'm going to read most of them in the Amplified. So if you have your Bible app, that's what I'm going to be. I don't have my Amplified Bible with me, so I'm going to be reading it on my Bible app. John chapter 14. You know what my prayer for you is? My prayer for South Dakota is that God would open our, tenderize our hearts to hear this message like it was the first time we ever heard it. I remember preaching this message. Yeah, I preached this message, I don't even know how many times, so many times. And I remember going to India, and I was preaching in a church in India on the street. And it was a church, little building, a little hut, like probably a quarter to a third the size of this room. And literally the door opened out into the street and there's people everywhere. Just so many people in India. It was so many people in India, everywhere. There's noise everywhere. And I remember you could like step outside the door of the church and your foot lands in the road. And I remember I'm preaching this message about being born again. And as I'm preaching it, I'm looking out. They had to open the doors because the room was so full. They had to open the doors and there's a crowd standing in the street listening to the message of the gospel. And I see these ladies out there that have the red dots on their head. And I know they're Hindu. They've never heard this before. And there was just that feeling of, wow, I am getting to share this with people who've never heard it before. And it was just like this brand new, they've never considered. Never considered. But I preach it in America all the time. And usually, not all, usually, but often, people just glaze the eyes. They've heard it before. And their hearts are insulated because they've heard it before, been there, done that. But man, God, would he tenderize our hearts that we would read these passages and meditate on what is happening inside of us and be like, oh, this is a miracle. God, thank you. I love you. I love you. Listen to these scriptures from John chapter 14 like you've heard them for the first time. John 14 verse 17. This is Jesus speaking. First verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him. Now he's talking to his disciples. He's like, guys, you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. He's talking to his disciples. He says, you have obeyed my commands. You followed me for 3 years. You are familiar with the Holy Spirit because he's been with you this whole time because you've been with me. But I'm leaving. But when I leave, he's not just going to be with you. He's coming in you. He's with you now, so you're familiar with his ministry. You've seen his works. You've seen his effect on people. You've heard him and sensed him in the teachings and the words that I've given you. And you've set your heart to obey me, but he's going to be in you. And he'll never, ever leave you. And look at verse 21. I'm going to read 21 in the Amplified Bible. How do I get him into me? That's what I want to know. I'm like, I'm in, Lord. How do I get him into me? Let's look at verse 21. This is in the Amplified Version. Listen to this. These are the words of Jesus. Pretend like you're hearing this for the first time. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Okay? Now listen to the next part. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. Do you see the progression so far? How do you fall in love with Jesus? Get his commandments and start keeping them. That's the way you express love to Jesus. And then he says, the person who lives like that, my Father will love him. And then listen to the progression. It keeps going. He will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And listen to this. And reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him. See, some people, you know, God's no respecter of persons. You know, some people, they hear me talk about my testimonies and they're like, well, yeah, you just got something special going with God. It's true. I do, but so can you. It is special, but it's available to you. I'm no different than you. It's like, well, you know, God just gives you these experiences to be close to him, to feel his presence and have the passion for him, you know, but I'm just not like that. You know, he just doesn't do that for me. He will do it for you. Here's how you get him in you to do this stuff for you. Right here, Jesus says, get his commandments, start keeping them whether you feel it or not. Seek his word, read it, whether you feel it, like it or not. Read the word and then put it into practice and keep doing that. And he says, the person who does that, I'm going to notice. And when I do, I'm going to be like, well, that person loves me. Look at that. And then I am going to personally come to you and make myself real to you. Do you see that progression? Man, how strategic is this in helping us lead people to Jesus? They're like, how can I be saved? Hear his word, believe it, and obey it. Just start practicing it. Don't wait to feel something before you start obeying it. Just start, believe it, obey it. Start doing it, and I promise you, if you'll just keep going in that lifestyle, you will feel him. He will come to you. He'll make himself real to you. He will reveal himself to you. You'll have so many of your own experiences with God. It will happen. Just do what he says, because that's what he's looking for. That's the one he comes to and makes himself known to. Isn't that good? I mean, that verse is glorious to me. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, if anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teaching, right? And my Father will love him. He says the exact same thing in this verse, except he changes a different wording at the end. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. Did you get that? How do I get God to come and live inside of me? Verse 23. Read it every single day and obey it exactly, word for word, every single day. And that promise will happen in your life. How do I get him to come and dwell with me? God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do I get them to live inside of me? Keep his word, and the Father will love you. And we, he says, will come to him. The Trinity, we will come to him and we'll make our dwelling with him. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they say, what must we do to be saved? Because Jesus had already said, this is how you got to be saved. You can't be saved unless you're born again. The Spirit has to come in you. How do we do that? You know, how do we get the Holy Spirit that we see you guys having on the day of Pentecost? They ask him that. And then Jesus said, here's how to do it. You hear his word and you obey it, and then he'll come to you and live in you and make himself known real to you. That's why Peter says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. Repent. What does that mean? Hear his word and obey it. Stop disobeying it and start obeying it. That's repent, right? But I don't feel anything. I need to have some power, dramatic experience in order to get started. No, you don't. Just start. And the dramatic experiences, I promise you, they're on their way. I'm going to tell you this too. I've had so many, I've been living with God for 25 years now. In June, it'll be 25 years. Which is a special anniversary. I need to do something special for my anniversary. I need to get away with the Lord or something for a day. But 25 years I've lived with him. But do you know what? I feel him. I don't know if there's a day ever in 25 years I've not felt his presence. Maybe there is one or two here and there and I just don't remember. It's possible. I hear his voice every day for certain. I don't think there's never been a day I haven't heard his voice since then. Sometimes, oftentimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's dramatic. And sometimes there's seasons where I don't feel him as strongly. But you know what? The lifestyle is the same. What does his word say? Get into his word and obey it. Just stay steady. Just obey. What does God say? Just keep doing it. My emotions feel screwed up and I feel angry and I want to vent. But the word says don't vent. Bless your enemies. I bless you in Jesus' name. And I don't feel it. It doesn't matter. You walk in the way of the word and the Spirit just fills you. This is the Spirit-filled life. This is how you get born again. If you're here and you're like, I've never experienced God before. I just don't think it's for me. That thought is a lie from the devil that you've been believing. You're not inferior to me or anybody else who you hear testify about having encounters with God. You just have to follow the same pathway. Read his word every day and obey it. And talk to him. Engage him in conversation as you go. Amen? Okay. I like to do this with Acts 2:38. When I'm discipling a new believer, I like to say, we read it, right? And it says, It says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like this. It's automatic. If you just follow this way of life, obeying his word, you don't even have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit is going to come. You can't keep him out unless you disobey. You guys with me? He's like, you're going to receive it. It's automatic. And I like to ask people, okay, read that verse. And then I say, what are the specific things God commands us to do? They say, well, repent and be baptized. I say, yep. And then what are the specific promises that God says he will do when you do those two things? They read it. It says, he'll forgive my sins and he'll give me the Holy Spirit. I say, yep. I say, do you believe that? Yes. Okay. Are you willing to repent and be baptized? Yes. Okay. You do that and the Holy Spirit's coming. So I want to ask you, are you willing to turn from your sin and live for Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? I mean, not just, okay, I'll try this for a week. I mean, do you believe God's word is real? Will you read the word every day and then obey it and talk with God as you go? And then he'll fill you. He's going to talk with you. He's talking to you right now. He just talked to you through the verses I read. Amen? So why don't you stand with me? I love you, Jesus. I'm going to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit. But it's not a magic prayer that does it. It's the heart. You know why I got filled with the Holy Spirit on that day the first time? It's because of what happened immediately before that. In my heart, I believed the word of God, and I said, yes, I will live for you, Jesus, from this point forward. And he's like, oh, I could just see Jesus being like, oh, Father, it's time. Holy Spirit, it's time. You've been longing to be inside of this man for a long, long time, and now he's ready. You know what's cool? Is he doesn't wait for us to have to prove it to him. He knows when it's real. When we set our hearts, I'm going to live for you from this point forward. He's like, I take you at your word. You're taking me at mine, I take you at yours. And he comes. Guaranteed. So let's just pray together and receive the Holy. I just want you to receive the Holy Spirit right now. So let's just pray. Say, go ahead and just turn your attention. I just want to wait for a few seconds. Get your mind on the Lord. And I want you to speak directly to him right now. Look him in the eyes and talk to him for real. Say, Father. Go ahead and say that with me. Father, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he's forgiven my sins. I will live for you from this point forward. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're stirring up in me the desire to please you and the power to please you. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming to live in me. Thank you for making Jesus real to me. Thank you, Father, for living inside of me. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go ahead and be seated. Thank you, God. Amen. So next week, we'll see what we do next week. I don't know. We have circuit riders coming next week, so I'm really excited about them being here. I'm not sure if they're going to minister or I'm going to minister, so we'll find out. But whenever I get to talk again, probably, I will. I'm just going to talk about sanctification. And you remember last week, you know, justification is what we talked about last week, where in our legal position before God, we're made clean. Sanctification is in our living condition, in real everyday life, we learn to live like Jesus. Amen. We live clean. And so that's a process that begins immediately with the Holy Spirit as your tutor. He comes inside of you. He takes the lead role in the sanctification process. And he says, okay, awesome. I'm glad you're following Jesus. He's like the best coach in the world, but better. And he's like, I'm going to teach you everything I know. Everything I know about how to follow Jesus, and I'm never leaving you. I'll always be with you. And he begins to play the lead role, and he convicts us when we sin. We're like, ooh, that wasn't right. And he's like, yep, you need to repent. Okay, thank you so much. And he trains us to live in godliness, and it requires our participation. He plays the lead role. We follow his lead on it, but that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Amen? So we're going to talk about that next time, how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to become more and more like Jesus in the way we live and we think, even in our emotions. Amen? Praise God. You know, inner healing. You guys have heard of inner healing before. What inner healing is really sanctification. Truthfully, it really is. It's like we get healed. The reason we're broken on the inside is because we're thinking the old way instead of like Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit does is he leads us through a process of inner healing where he's like, ah, see that thought right there? That's the trigger that the enemy puts in your mind to manipulate your behavior and to manipulate wrong emotions in you. If you'll just switch this thought out for this thought that comes from the mind of God, you'll feel joy, righteousness, peace, and joy on the inside instead of fear, anxiety, insecurity, envy, on and on and on. So we're going to talk about that next time. So I bless you in the name of Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit all week long. Let him be with you continually. And to enjoy your fellowship with him in the word and to obey his commands. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Love you guys. Thanks for braving Snowmageddon and coming out. Have an awesome day. We'll be here tonight, 6 o'clock. Revelation.